Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Windows 8 development, Windows 8 app development with the web platform. We are really excited. We've got tons of content today. My name is Jeremy Foster, and this is my buddy Michael.
Hi.
We are going to be covering some really cool topics over the next couple of days. And I hope that you guys just stay in your seats, and I hope you have a good time.
Yeah, I'm very excited about all the content that we're doing today. In fact, so much so, I know we both want to just dive in, but I think a good idea is to at least let you know who we are a little bit. I'd love to introduce you, Jeremy, and I'm going to let everyone know, Jeremy's been with Microsoft now almost a year. He's a member of our evangelism team, and the thing that I really enjoy about Jeremy, in fact, I think the reason why we connected and work so well is because we have a passion for this topic. But I love how much he is so fussy about the details on his blog and when he does any writing. So if you're really interested in understanding something, how it really works, and you want to see code written the right way, I think of Jeremy's. And I've learned a lot from you so far, so I'm excited that I'm doing this with you.
Well, just because it compiles and passes the unit tests doesn't necessarily mean that it's written right, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm equally excited to be working with Michael. Michael is the author of multiple books and online videos that I have personally benefited from, so thank you for that. Michael's got lots of industry experience in the web. He is, in my opinion, rocking the web stack. So it's going to be good working with you here on screen.
Thanks.
So let me tell you what we've got in store for you. We've got a course that's going to last 2 days. And it is Accelerated Certification Prep Jumpstart. Why don't you break that down for him? What does that mean?
Well, you know, we do have the certification thing in there, but I think what is really exciting about what we're doing is that all the content that's going to be covered, which goes into this 7480, which is developing an HTML5 with JavaScript, and also the tomorrow's stuff, which is the 70-481, which is really creating the apps with it, all this content is really derived from real-world experience from us being out in the trenches doing all these events. I absolutely love the fact that we're bringing this to the table and that it aligns so nicely with these certs.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an accelerated course, so we're not going to have hands-on labs. You've got the Code Show project that you're welcome to follow along on, but for the most part, we're going to be really moving through a lot of content. So we're going to kind of white-knuckle a little bit. The Code Show project is going to be pretty integral to what we're doing today. I'm going to jump out and show you this. If you go to codeshow.codeplex.com and then go to the source code tab, not the downloads tab, because that's going to get you releases, which there are none right now, but just go to source code and you're free to browse the source code online or go over here to download and download that source code. That's available to you at any point. These are one-day versions of 5-day courses. What's normally done in 5 days, we're going to try to pack into 1 day each.
Yeah, so I mean, when we're saying accelerated, we really truly mean it. But you know, if you are the type that really, really enjoys having that slower experience, then you should reach out to a Microsoft partner and look for these courses that they might be available. The 2048-0A. Boy, I couldn't even, that was a tongue twister, and 20481A. Both of these are courses that map to those exams.
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of days. On the left, you see day one, and on the right, day two. So today, we're going to be sticking to the topics of the web platform. Pretty generic web platform. We're going to talk about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. There will be some Windows 8 topics that sneak into today, because it's definitely relevant. But then tomorrow is where we're going to dive into the Windows 8 platform itself.
Yeah. So when you think about today, I like how you said it. Think about that we're emphasizing all the good features of the web platform development, you know, all those features. Yet at the same time, what we're really interested in doing is showing you how that's going to lead up into app development for tomorrow.
So absolutely.
Really excited about that.
Well, Michael's going to go ahead and get us started. And the topic that we're going to start with is HTML semantic structure.
Yes. So what do we mean when we say HTML5 semantic structure? Well, at the end of the day, there are so many people that are interested in web development and specifically right now the HTML5 content. And there is sometimes some mystery as to what does it mean to have semantic elements. So let's go ahead and dive in and take a look at our agenda. We're going to be focusing on semantic tags first, and then we're going to get into how the forms have changed a little bit with HTML5. cover some of the eye candy pieces, I guess you would call it, from HTML5 with the audio, video, canvas, and SVG. We'll sprinkle some demos in throughout. Let's start right now by considering this perplexing situation. Now, Jeremy, when you look at this and you see, you know, these divs with these IDs in these classes, do you think that this 3-4 years ago looked somewhat familiar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It looks very familiar to me.
So, you know, and so did the powers behind HTML5. You know, they looked at this and realized there's so much repetition going on with people creating headers or navs or articles or whatever the case was. So why not do this and just formalize all those things that are typically done in web apps today? So these semantic tags are made available so that we can just say, hey, you know what, instead of having an ID or a class to kind of give that attribution, let's give it, make it a first-class citizen within the markup. So what are some of the new features or new semantic tags? We saw a couple in the previous kind of conceptual-looking graphic, but these are elements that map over. It gives an idea of what the block level would be or if it's text level and what its purpose is. But I find, of course, and I'm sure you're the same, that it's usually best to see in a demo. So I'm going to do that in just a moment. The other factor with HTML5 is forms. And I think there's a lot of exciting features that just came out with forms. So consider this particular situation where we have, you know, a classic form asking for name, email, site, and phone. Well, some of the new attribution would be allowing that text type for input to be marked as required. And you'll notice right now on the screen that the required attribute is standing alone by itself.
That's interesting.
How does that make you feel?
At first, it makes me feel a little bit non-standard.
Yes, it does feel that way. You know, and I want to highlight that because of that, a lot of people like to actually put the required equals and then still put like the word required in quotes, which you're allowed to do. But it will work that way, which is kind of interesting. All right, let's go back over here and check out email. So email is a classic thing that is asked for. Not only are we marking it as required, but we're also saying, hey, let's provide a little placeholder. A placeholder that says, let's give them an example. You know, kind of like a traditional watermark that you would just have in the background. So that's how easy it is to do now in HTML5. You can do the same thing here with site, type URL, and with phone, I thought I'd introduce that you could also, in addition to all the things we've talked about before, you know, like we can mark it required, placeholders, we can actually provide, you recognize what's in that pattern?
Yeah, it looks like a phone number.
Looks like an odd phone number. You know, that's a regex pattern. So we can actually put in customized stuff. If we don't like the way the default pattern would be for a phone, then we can say, well, we want it to be this way. Because, you know, phone numbers all over the place are different. Well, I think it's time for our first demo.
Let's do it.
So this is an important demo. It's our first demo of day one. And what we want to focus on right now is the fact that we are going to be showcasing for you some web stuff. But now we're going to kind of sneak in how it's going to be done. So let's go ahead and look at Visual Studio here. I just opened Visual Studio 2012. I am going to create a new project, and I'm going to call the I'm going to use a blank app. And you'll notice over here on this side it says JavaScript and it says Windows Store. So, but it does say JavaScript, which is good. And I'm going to create a little project here called, well, we're going to sandbox some things. So I'll put sandbox here. Whoops, sorry, let me do sandbox jump start. There we go. That's going to create a project here. Now, I want to immediately ignore this JavaScript because we haven't even talked about JavaScript yet. I do want to focus, however, on the default HTML page. And as we look at this markup here.
Now, Michael, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
And ask you a question? Are you creating a website here?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We're not creating a website, although that looks like a web page to me.
Yeah, it looks like a website to me.
I mean, inside of this HTML, we have references to CSS, we have references to JavaScript, it looks like HTML markup. And that's the good news, because anybody who's going to be doing any kind of web development is going to immediately feel like, hey, this is familiar territory. You know,
right.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to do, though, is show how it's going to be slightly different. I'm going to collapse the header section for a moment. And you know, if anyone's watching and saying, why did he do that? Well, there's some references in here that we'll get into at a later point. But I just want to collapse it for now and just say, let's just look at this markup as simple as it is on the screen right now. My goodness, it's just a doc type declaration, which is the standard for HTML5. You know, we don't have all that crazy metadata stuff at the top anymore. A simple HTML opening and closing tag. And right inside here in the body, we just have, you know, some simple stuff. I could run it at this time. Would you like to see what that would mean to run it?
Yeah, sure.
So I'll run on my local machine. Now, really difficult to see, but there's this content goes here. Now, where's the browser?
You tell me.
Exactly. There is no browser. We're actually running in an app. So that's going to be the same thing all day. We're not going to over-explain that. This is the only time today we're going to say it. All our web stuff is going to be tested in the context of an app. It's crazy. So I'll switch back over here. And we'll be getting more also into Visual Studio and some of its features tomorrow as well. So I'm just going to focus on the text editing features of creating some cool markup. So I'll get rid of this default. I'll stop the app from running. I'm going to get rid of this default paragraph tag. That was kind of boring. Why not add a section? And you know what? I'm going to add a style, an inline style for right now. Reason is, you know, people understand that sometimes what we have on the in our markup is not exactly. I didn't like that content being so far up in that corner. I don't know about you, but it was hard for me to see. So I don't know. I'll just randomly choose what 120 pixels left. That sounds like a good number. Is that good with you?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, and the margin top, I'll probably bring it down 45 px. So that feels good, and I'll close that section out. And, you know, so what is a section? A section is, it's the ability to define content on the page without formally saying that it's all together complete, which is what makes it different from article, right? Because the article semantic tab would say, I could be fully syndicated just with the content that I have. And it wouldn't surprise you if you found, like, within a section or within an article, multiple sections. But think of it as a section wouldn't be standalone. Now, I'll introduce another one. How about an HG group? It's really hard for me not to talk about these Visual Studio features with the IntelliSense that's going on. And H1 tag inside of an H group will say markup. H2 tag, say this is a demo. And let me check out and see how this looks. So you can see up here in the corner, H1 tag and the demo. This is kind of how we do title, subtitle with the new semantic markup with with our groups. I'll close that down. One way to close down an app, by the way, is just grabbing it at the top, bringing it down, and swinging back over into our desktop mode.
I usually hit Alt F4.
That works too. So now I'm back into the code, and let's talk a little bit about forms. Maybe I can add a little form tag right here, showcase one of those features. So I will put a paragraph tag that says, you know, what are your favorites? And indicate afterwards that I'd like an input tag. Maybe the input's going to be, I'll say its ID is, favorite URL. And the type, and when I hit the IntelliSense here, it pulls up a list of all the different types in that input, which is, again, a nice feature of Visual Studio. And sure enough, down in here, of all the new types, there is a URL. Of course, that's a standard. I am going to use the required And I'm going to say required equals required, just so it doesn't look wrong to either one of us, because, you know, we've been in that world so much. And I'm going to say the placeholder, I'll make it equal. Oh, why not? I'll just choose something like www.palermo4.com. Shameless. It's just shameful that I just, that plug right there. But I'll just use my website there. Now, because I'm using an input tag like this, I am going to create a form tag as well. And put inside, I'm going to take that input out and just put it right there. A little copy and paste magic is what made all of that happen. And, of course, I'd like to submit this. So I'll put in an input, type equals submit. And, you know, I'll say the value is we'll do some kind of fictitious saving of that favorites. All right. So, oh. Better close that tag. Let's see how this one looks when we run it and what the benefit is of all these new structural and semantic things. So you can automatically see that watermark in the background, right? You know, that Palermo4.com kind of says, hey, this is how the site could look. I'm going to click save. And it's saying, hey, no, this is a required field. Sweet. Well, if it's required, I'm going to say, okay. I understand it's required. Now I'm going to click save again. It's like, no, you must enter a valid URL. It's like, all that out of the box. I didn't have to do any other coding to get that kind of validation done. So if I actually put in a valid website, something like www.codefoster.com, another just shameful plug. Yeah, it's just shameless. So I'll go ahead and click save. Let's see what happens. Well, what did it do? It actually submitted, right? And now it just reset itself back to the original value. But it did accept. In fact, it liked codefoster.com, FYI. So what do you think of those new semantic tags?
I like them. I think it makes the HTML, you know, cleaner to read and, you know, makes more sense.
Yeah, I agree. So, and the benefit here is that you can use all of this within the context of writing an app, just like we were doing with the website. You know, nothing changed.